So I wanted to say a little bit more in relation to Ulrich's question, which is a great question, in terms of having some inner experiences that feel like they're obstacles to the Guru Yoga. So we talk about the nature of the mind, and we talk about spaciousness, and we talk about openness, and we talk about smooth, and we talk about luminous, and we talk about fresh. And so these are all good and positive and wonderful things. But then when we sit down, we may be contracted, we may have pain, we might be ill, we might be dizzy, we might be tired. Might be anxious. So one thing is, within the various practices that we know, it's probably helpful to see how various practices affect us. So even within the Ngundo, the foundational practices, doing something like the Om Ah Hum breathing, just being very, very aware of our breath, Om, and at the bottom of the breath it's Ah, and then exhaling, and just allowing ourselves to breathe very, very calmly and mindfully might be a very, very relaxing practice. There are practices of just watching the breath, and those are common to all the schools of Buddhism, really. There are variants of how it's done, but, you know, sometimes in the Tibetan tradition, you'll be taught to just sort of observe the breath up to 21 and then start again at 1 and go to 21. And that can be typically calming. Maybe looking at a picture of Guru Rinpoche for some people might be calming. So it's important to see how various practices are and to make use of them as resources. It's also important to recognize how we, and I said this last night, that our minds confuse us, so that when you said, you know, I'm always anxious, and then when asked, Anne asked, well, does it vary? And you said, yeah, sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more. But our minds actually, when we're speaking and we say, I'm always anxious, in that moment it feels like I'm always anxious. But we're not always anything. I mean, any human being is unconscious a few hours of the day. And during that, even if it's restless sleep, there's probably some time when they're just zonked out. So they're not always anxious. And even, it's very, very important, you know, during the course of the day, even people with chronic pain, no human state is perpetual. So it's very, very important to start developing the subtlety of mind, which starts noticing variations. Because some of those variations may be due to conditions we can control. Some of them may not be. But if you happen to notice that, you know, we were a little bit joking, but if we're anxious and then we drink coffee and we notice we're 25% more anxious, we might realize, well, that might not be the best particular brew for me, or Diet Coke, or whatever. You know, and some people have contrary things. So maybe somebody drinks chamomile tea and they get very, very anxious. You know, for most people it's calming. So we just have to know our systems. You know, I have trouble with my stomach. I start eating hot peppers and sour pickles and sauerkraut. And, you know, then I go to my acupuncturist and say, you know, I'm eating hot pickles and sauerkraut and sour pickles. And I said, my stomach hurts. What are you eating? Like the equivalent of you're an idiot, you know. But we do that. So, I mean, there are things that we can do that are simple. There are practices in the Dharma that are simple. you know, for some things like anxiety, I'm a professional. There may be things that are professionally useful that can be explored, whether they be behavioral things of, you know, it's very common now that people teach mindfulness-based stress reduction. So it's basically mindfulness meditation. It's very, very good. There are medications. There's talk therapy. So those are things that can be explored by the body. So all of those are, how do we ameliorate a condition? But also, you know, and we're going to go through the liturgy on page 17. The prayer is source of all refuge, great guru. My heart yearns. Pain unbearable. Look on me with your compassion. Please now bestow blessings and wongs. So why is our heart yearning? Because we're fucked up. Life is fucked up. Life hurts. We're sick. We're anxious. We're contracted. We're depressed. We're a little bit crazy. We're angry. We're dying. We're losing that which is dear to us. We're conjoined with that which we hate. We're subject to birth, old age, sickness, and death. You know, if Buddha was teaching in the hood and it was nowadays, he just would say, life sucks. First noble truth. Now, the good news, it doesn't always suck. But, you know, this is... You know, if you were in the God realm, they'll say in the traditional teachings, we don't want to hear the God realm. It's terrible. It's like, you know, you're on opium for a zillion years. And it's only in that last seven God days, your flowers start, you know, degenerating and you start, you know, realizing there's some change and you go into a panic because you realize it's coming to an end and you've used up all this good karma and you look where you're going and it's always to the worst place. The next stop in the chain, so you start crying. But we do have problems. And it's so important to take the Dharma to heart. Adzim Rinpoche says that we often translate it very literally, but I think we should understand it as we need to take the Dharma to heart. He says we need to mix our mind, our mental continuum with the Dharma. Well, that's a little bit hard to understand. What's he talking about, our mental continuum and the Dharma? But if you say we need to take it to heart. So we're hurting. We're anxious. One of the things we can do is, may my anxiety contain the anxiety of all beings. So we're practicing bodhicitta. We're practicing the development of a very, very large heart. But Guru Yoga is many, many things, but within which there is this longing for assistance. There's a longing for relief. So, yes, we all are longing for a state which is described as smooth and luminous and fresh. We all want that. That's universal. When we hear that, something deep is perhaps reawakened, of something that we have some intrinsic understanding is a natural birthright. And the more we hear it, the more we realize we ain't there. And it's okay to recognize that we're not there. It's okay to be upset that we're not there. It's also okay to practice within a state of longing. My heart yearns, pain unbearable. I'm anxious. It feels terrible. I don't feel any of this smooth, luminous, fresh you're talking about. I'm just feeling contracted and nervous and shaky. And the mantra then becomes a mantra of request. But it's always a mantra of request, which is basically, when we're saying siddhi, it's like that's the request of siddhi means accomplishment. It's the word drup. Where we are amongst the many things that the prayer of the mantra means is, may I accomplish the state of smooth, luminous freshness. And it may be that once you accomplish it, that's the sound, your natural sound. Om Ahum Benzer Guru Pema Siddhi Hum. That's the natural sound that's coming forth. But until you're there, it's a path mantra. It's a request. It's a pleading. It's a longing. It's a yearning. So we take it to heart when we're feeling that anxiety, and it's like, Om Ahum Benzer Guru Pema Siddhi Hum. You know, can we get out of this thing? Om Ahum Bentra Guru Pema Siddhi Hum. This feels awful. Om Ahum Bentra Guru Pema Siddhi Hum. I want some of that smoothness stuff. Om Ahum Bentra Guru Pema Siddhi Hum. I don't feel any of it. Om Ahum Bentra Guru Pema Siddhi Hum. That's where you're at. That's the reality of the practice. That's taking Dharma to heart. If we only practice when we're feeling good, we're going to practice one day a year. There's a big debate about this. We have one teacher, again, Namke Norbu Rinpoche. You know, he would say, you know, if it's not going well, don't sit. And there's much to be thought about in that. From my side, most of my teachers, aside from Namke Norbu Rinpoche, said, you know, develop a habit of teaching. And what's come out of that is, well, there I am tired, there I am exhausted, there I am angry, there I am hateful, there I am jealous. And I'm sitting with that. And how does that factor into how does practice affect it? How does it affect my practice? There are a lot of things to learn. And so when we're feeling crappy, there's a reason why it's a Pema, it's a lotus, it is mud. There is some necessity to go through darkness for light to shine. And we do have to bring our problems to the path. And so if we're feeling anxious, then we have to, you know, we use whatever means we can, whether they be the sort of modern behavioral health things of stress reduction or mindfulness-based stress reduction or talking therapy or medication. We use those things. We use meditations within the tradition itself. Om Ahum, watching the breath. But we also, you know, bottom line is if we're feeling messed up, we try to bring that to, especially with a prayer like this, my heart yearns pain unbearable. That can be physical pain. That can be emotional pain. That can be, you know, guilt, shame, anger, hate. Om Ahum Bendra Guru Pema Siddhi Hum. May I be blessed. And it's very, very hard because when we're in those mind states, part of us may not even... One of the ways that we get absorbed into negative states is that we, not everybody, but if we're wired this way, is we might sort of involute and become sort of like egg-like in our condition. So it may not even occur to us. Many of us have been sort of either explicitly or implicitly taught that when things are going bad, don't seek help. That can be a very, very deep sort of piece of software. So, you know, often I'll sit with clients and I'll say, you know, they're saying something like they're physically ill. And I say, you know, are you going to go to a doctor? And they say, no. And I say, well, why not? Well, it's not okay to be sick. And, you know, if I go to a doctor, you know, I'm admitting I'm sick and I'm not going to admit that I'm sick. I mean, that's just not, you know, just got to deal with it. Got to suck it up. So, you know, if you've got some internal software of, I got to suck it up, and but you're practicing, and, you know, you may even be going through the motions of the practice, it might not even occur to you to have a heartfelt, you may even be reciting the words, my heart yearns, pain unbearable, but, you know, it's sort of like, but I'm in this egg, and I got to take care of myself, and I got to suck it up, and there are no energies of assistance out there. And even if you recognize that, that's actually a very, very important recognition, that I feel disconnected and I really don't feel like anything's out there to help me. Maybe I could get some help for that messed up attitude. Om Aum Mentor Guru Pema Siddhiyum. We have a lot of obstacles to open ourselves to blessings. And it's important to recognize the obstacles. I'm anxious. I don't feel permeable to blessings. Om Aum Mentor Guru Pema Siddhiyum. I don't even want to rely on anybody to get more blessings. Om Aum Mentor Guru Pema Siddhiyum. I'm pretty unreachable. Om Aum Mentor Guru Pema Siddhiyum. Maybe I can get over this someday. Om Aum Mentor Guru Pema Siddhiyum. It's taking Dharma to heart.
If you enjoyed this teaching, please visit our website, donmountain.org, to subscribe to this course and find other great Dharma offerings. May all beings always have happiness and its causes. May all beings always be free of pain and its causes.